Hello to everybody. I have a great pleasure to interview today my great friend, Paul Weigel. Paul Weigel is a doctor, graduated in 1989 from the University in Munich from dental department. And over the years, he became not only scientist, clinician, researcher, but great, great friend of mine. And in general, he is doing a lot of beautiful and amazing things. I learned a lot from him. I met him for the first time more than I think 10, 15 years ago, and it changed a lot in my professional life. Hello, Paul.
Hi, Chris. Thank you for this friendly invitation and also for this capturing up the story of both of us, and I have to say the same. You're a close friend of mine, and we have a nice journey together, and I hope we have it still in future too.
Yeah, it is amazing how long we are just in this relation, professional and friendly in the same time. And I remember when we first met, when you were convincing me what is the difference in between the connection types, about what is the Morse type, and I was very deep in hex connection at the time. So It was a long story.
Yes.
And Paul, I have to say as well that you are the head of postgraduate department, the department at the University of Frankfurt, where you are responsible as well for Master of Oral Implantology program for postgraduate. It's continuing. How is it right now?
Yes, we start, about more than 13 years ago, and you are one of the first one who be a part of this program, and I'm very proud that you do it.
Yeah.
And this will also give us a more closer cooperation. Yes, of course, due to the pandemic, we have the problem that our students now coming more than of 80 countries over the world, grounded. They cannot fly in and not fly out without any quarantine regulations. So we have to move to webinars, as everybody do. But we are in a really big advantage because our program was 13 years ago already prepared for distance learning. So we have all the setup, all the IT, and all the experience. So for us, it was not a big change. And so we are very well doing, and I think it's a big success that we still in the pandemic situation, we can start a new class with 28 participants. Wow. In October this year.
But they are from Germany, or they are from abroad as well?
No, they come also from all over the world, from Australia, from Pakistan, from Iceland, whatever you want. And it was interesting, and this is what I say. If you talk about education, you have also keep in mind in the target group, and the target group is different. So you have clinicians, they want to see you, they want to have the personal contact with you, and then they come into the school.
Yeah.
10 days in October, even from Australia, and this guy say, okay, I go back and I have go 10 days in the hotel, but I want to do it live.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, the other half of the classes was virtually. Yeah. So that means even they are coming from Switzerland, they don't go here. And so they go all the 10 days by so-called webinar. Mm-hmm. And so we have a mixed class. So you have to imagine the classroom. If you be a lecturer, you have 12 participants, 12 students live ahead of you, and then you have a big screen, and then due to this modern programs, you have all the faces of the rest of the class, so the other 14. You see in the screen. So this is a really nice experience. You have some live present and some online, and it works better than we think, and we are very happy about that.
So you are lucky that you are actually prepared in advance, and now you benefit from this early preparation.
Yes, because the program is working like a so-called flip classroom. That means we have something ahead for the lecturers so they can prepare, and afterwards we also have a one-to-one teaching, that they are getting help for documentation, the cases, and of course to prepare the first, mostly the first scientific paper, to get all this behavior and experience. And so this was done all the time on distance learning tools and with platforms and whatever you hear now, the last year, we do it since 12 years, right?
Yeah, this is absolutely amazing. And I have to admit that, quite frankly, I am one of the clinicians who graduated first MOI program. And I learned a lot. And honestly, it was the first time, actually, when I heard from you about one-time abutment concept. And I was very much impressed about this concept. And actually, today I would like to talk about this concept with you. How do you describe just to give the information on the beginning, what is really one-time abutment concept?
If you talk about implantology, you should have a very basic knowledge about healing. And I think if you have a situation like a wound, and the wound heals once, I think it's okay. And sometimes you have a scar, sometimes not. You know about accidents on your skin. Yeah. But look, if you have a wound and then it heals, and then you come in and you open it again, and then it heals again, and then you open it again, and then it heals again, I think everybody knows that that's not the best way.
Yeah.
And the same is here. You have a wound if you penetrate your soft tissue by a foreign body. We call it abutment or implant neck. And so if the soft tissue has now the healing wounds to the surface of the neck of the implant or to the abutment or to the crown, soft tissue doesn't care. I think this will the best way for protection against later on mucositis and peri-implantitis and so on. And this kind of concept we do more than 25 years now. And of course, you cannot do it always.
These are the points which I will ask you in the next questions, which are the prerequisites for this. I think it is very smart when you are comparing this process of the healing around implant neck, around abutment, to the wound, to the scar which you have on your skin, which you can, irritate all the time, and we know in which direction it will go. It will never heal, or you will have a big scars around, you know. Because you say that you are in the process of this or you are using these techniques with one-time abutment for more than 20 years.
Yes.
And how do you see it on the long term? Because we know in implantology that just to have the information about stability, about long-term results, you need to observe it at least a couple of years. And especially in the aesthetic regions, there is some kind of point after 6-7 years when the treatment which was looking nicely, especially in the aesthetic regions, suddenly starts to collapse.
Yes, I think it's a little bit difficult.
Yeah.
Because you ask about long-term data, and of course everybody likes to know long-term data. I think I learned this concept from Straumann ITI with a tissue level implant. We placed it for a long time, and there is a lot of papers from Salvi and others who have this long-term data that the soft tissue surrounding this this neck only once have excellent data. And that point that we have now a problem if you always change the abutments because you have a so-called bone level implant. And so we have to adapt in two ways. We have to change the workflow that after the placement, immediately the final abutment will come. This is one of the solution. Or the other solutions are that you place some abutment between, and then on top you place again abutment in the crown. This is also an approach I don't like so much, but it's a little bit easier way for the for the complex organization, because you know, if you place an implant, mostly it's done by a surgeon. Yeah. And later on, the prostate will come, and so it's a little bit difficult that you place an implant immediately on top the final abutment. That's a little bit a challenge.
Yeah, right. And I like very much this concept, and I'm using it whenever I can select the proper case. And I like it very much, especially with this immediate implantation in the aesthetic region. Mm. And what would be your recommendation actually about the selection criteria? Which cases you can think that they are good or perfect for this solution? What kind of prerequisites? What has to be actually fitting to the perfect model for such a treatment option?
I think the perfect way is that you first of all have to think about the soft tissue, not to hurt the soft tissue a lot. So I think if you make a big flap or you add some augmentation procedures with connective tissue graft, this kind of one abutment, one kind of time concept is working, but I think there's not a big difference. Mm-hmm. The main power will come if you be in a very, very minimal invasive way, especially on the thin biotype. And then, the indication is an aesthetic case, of course. And of course, singles or a little bit more advantage, more challenge is a breach. But fortunately, if 80% are singles nowadays, single mm-hmm. implant crowns. And there, I think this is the biggest indication. And secondly, the one abutment, one time concept means that the soft tissue can heal on top without any disturbance. And this is, of course, possible if you have no interface, and in the tissue level of stroma, there is no interface. But if you have an interface, and you know, you already mentioned about the cone connection or Morse taper connection, this connection is a little bit more safe and more sealed than a butt connection in some of the underloading, and so this is also a factor for the long-term run, that the soft tissue is not inflamed by some leakage between this interface. So these two factors are, I think, you have to link, and then you have also the indication. If you make one abutment, one time concept, you should also select a very tight and very sealed implant abutment connection, and not a lousy one, which is sometimes happen with a copycat or with a butt connection, or you know, all this stuff. Yeah.
So in general, just to highlight, it's in one time abutment concept, the goal is just to place an implant, for instance, in immediate implantation protocol, and deliver on top of this implant a final abutment, which will be never unscrewed. Is it correct?
Never removed again.
Never removed again. So this is you need a lot of knowledge and preparation from one side to understand the process. But I think it's you can learn it. But from the other point of view, it is just as well a lot of planning ahead, because how to predict the correct shape, the correct soft tissue support, how you manage these options.
Yeah, this is a little bit thinking out of the mainstream, and you know, the mainstream, I don't care, because you have two options to make this high aesthetic shaping of the soft tissue. You can do it with the abutment, yes, but then you have to prepare the soft tissue, and if you prepare the soft tissue, you have to change abutments and crowns and whatever. This is not good. Or you say, okay, the soft tissue will always follow the shape of the abutment or the crown, what you offer the soft tissue. And then if you offer the soft tissue immediately, more or less the exact anatomical shape of the root part, apical to the cementoenamel junction, and the rest of the crown, and this is more or less correct in anatomic design, then the soft tissue gets a perfect emergence profile. So this is a consequence, and therefore you need dental technicians who are educated about that. And that's a problem that the mainstream doing another way. They shape the soft tissue step by step, and then they have no chance to use a one apartment, one time concept, because they think and they believe this is the only way to get a good aesthetic emergence profile. But that's not true.
Some questions arise. Can you make this a one-time abutment concept with the individual abutment only, or with the custom abutment, however you will call it, or a standard abutment is also an option?
You can do it both, because I started for 27 years ago with this concept and with an abutment, not with a neck of a tissue level. And in that way, the crown margin is a little bit deeper and the final shape of the soft tissue is done by the crown. But the soft tissue doesn't care if it's attaching to the crown or to the abutment. But today you can do this one abutment one time very easy way if you do guided surgery with a full guided approach, and you prefabricate the abutment ahead. Then you can also use CAD/CAM customized abutment, and it works perfectly, because what we learn, and we now start to prove it, with a guided approach, you can do mostly also the punching of the soft tissue instead of the flap rising. And here we see that we are not only have the final line, that we have no recession. We see more and more a gain of soft tissue on the midfacial aspect. I don't know why, but we see it more and more. And so we are now starting a clinical trial to have evidence a better way on that. And this, I think, is a revival or a starting again of the one apartment, one time concept, because it's working much easier for the clinician with a so-called guided surgery. Because then you can deliver the clinicians with the final abutment, which is patient-specific made.
So in general, a static guided surgery works in this case.
Yeah, static. You can also do a dynamic with a Navident or others, but this is a little bit the next step. So I always recommend start first with the static, and then a little bit later you go to the dynamic, and then you will see both have advantages and disadvantages. And so look, I don't want to have a lecture now, but the main advantage of a static placement of a single, because you don't need a full guided for singles. Most of the clinicians have enough orientation to see it where they can place, right? And they have a lot of planning, so it's not necessary. But the only, let me say, indication for full guided in a single is that you can fabricate all the prosthetic components and ahead, and therefore you have a boost for a motivation to do guided surgery again, because we started 30 years ago, and so we see, okay, it's fine to have and nice to have, but for a single nobody has really the need for.
Actually, I need to say that in my office, we place all the implants 100% guided. Doesn't matter is it full arch or single tooth. And of course, guided surgery, especially for the single centrals or aesthetic region, which is with immediate implantation, is one of the most challenging one for guided surgery. This is my private opinion, because then you have to really understand the behavior of implant inside of this bony socket to avoid this kind of change of path during the insertion. Do you agree with me?
Yes and no. Because if you go to a socket with guided, you have a big challenge that the osteotomy protocol is more or less not made for this, and you have a steep cortical plate on the palate, and then you always slide away with your burrs and so on, and the template is not stable, and all these complications you can have. And here we have also made a 7-year or long journey to develop with a company a completely new osteotomy protocol, especially designed for this immediate loading also, and that the burrs are going really easy and smooth, even on steel, on steep cortical plates. And this makes life easier for this. So you don't have to change the direction from the osteotomy drills and later on from the axis of the implants. All this, what we have as a challenge 10 years ago, we say, okay, we have to solve it with a better osteotomy protocol and with better drills. And therefore, the point is, I think in a short time, also other companies will do this kind of step to handle better on a socket with guided surgery.
Yeah, it's challenging in these kind of cases. Mm-hmm. And honestly, we are solving this issue, creating, I call it with the wording that it's a bony chamber, because as a first step for the preparation with guides, we are using this kind of milling cutter. So it is like a cylinder with the diameter of the core of the implant. So we want to have this first axis of the implant when it's going, entering the bone, the osteotomy is wide, that the threads will not, during the placement, during the insertion, will not slide the implant out of the path, which is the initial. And the main anchorage is fixed with the bottom part. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Correct. Yeah. Yeah. This is a very good solution. And most of the implants nowadays follow this kind of solution. And but the implant is as good as the osteotomy protocol is ahead.
Yeah.
And this link is mostly a little bit underestimated by the clinicians. And especially in a socket, you know, you have not a lot of bone for anchoring. And so you have to be very, very gently, very, very minimal invasive for the bone.
Yeah, it's critical, I agree.
Yeah, and because the prime stability, it's easy to get. With all implant systems, you have your tricks.
Yeah.
But if you, if the price is for the prime stability, that you have a lot of pressure and it's a lot of condensation and whatever, you undersized cavity, bone cavity, then you give the bone a lot of stress to be killed, especially in the on the layer of the implant surface, and then the bone more or less is transforming to a very soft kind of material, and then we have this called secondary stability. So after 3-4 weeks we lose the primary stability and we go down.
Yeah.
And if it's too much, we lose the implant. And this is a catastrophe. Yeah. And if you look at the meta-analysis, which always looking back, so they analyze the information of the past, then we have very good evidence that immediate placed implants and restored implants have more risk for early losses. And this is exactly what I talk for. And so we have to get about these solutions that the osteotomy and the placement should be very, very minimal invasive, very gently to the bone and very safe for the axis and so on. You're right.
And let's say we have the implant in the perfect position. What would be, from your point of view, as an experienced and very experienced clinician, especially in this topic, what would be your material selection? Abutment should be titanium-based, titanium, zircon. What is your advice?
I think the material is a little bit overestimated due to this kind of healing. It heals with everything very nicely as long as it is a dental material which has a CE marking and is good biocompatible. And this is not only titanium and zirconia. It can also be glass ceramic. It can also be PEEK. We see more or less also in the literature very, very slightly differences. And therefore, you have to choose, you make your choice a little bit on the aesthetic way. And especially in a thin biotype, I prefer that the abutment have very early tooth coloring and not only a one colored, like zirconia, which only be white or yellow. So it's a really nice tooth coloring. And this you can make perfectly with an abutment crown, which is glued in the lab, And so the veneering and the glass ceramic is done by the dental technician, like an artist. And then you get brilliant aesthetics on the soft tissue level and below. So the soft tissue has the same color like on the neighboring teeth, you know. And you are expert in that. I don't tell the wrong guy about this. The abutment selection is more or less aesthetics. Yeah.
But in general, Paul, I really like that with our talks, with our discussions on the podcast channels with you, but as well with other authors and colleagues, we have the chance to friendly discuss and talk about our experiences and our options or selections and choices. And this is very important for me that we have this option, that we have this channel, that we can communicate and talk in the relaxed way, that without proving which truth is more true than other truth. So I hate it. But immediately when we are talking about zirconia abutments, about other materials, there is always this kind of discussion about polishing surface. How should be polished the surface, or is it possible that we will glaze the surface, or you have some recommendation as well in this point?
Yeah, the literature and also the basic research is here a little bit controversial and pending. The point is, if you go again basics, you have to think about the surface of a tooth and of a root, and this is not perfectly polished, and you have a special roughness. And so we have also seen that a machine surface acts very well with the soft tissue interface. However, if it's a little bit too rough or we have a laser texture, it's not working. If you have a small inflammation, you get a small recession, and then you have a plaque, and the plaque cannot be removed by the patients anymore, and then you have the mucositis, perimplantitis, and you cannot go out of the circulus vitiosus. Therefore, your question is, we do in our department now in University of Frankfurt, not glazing and not high polishing.
Okay.
So it's, let me say, we polish it a little bit, but not in a absolutely perfect way. Or we, if there is a machining of the zirconia, if you use zirconia, that's fine. Yeah. And what we also learn, it's a long time ago, and this is also a channel or an option to talk about it. We use exactly 18 years ago, first time, so-called zirconia healing abutments, which are anatomically shaped, right?
Yeah.
And of course, these anatomically shaped healing abutments are much more, giving much more surface on the interface on the soft tissue. And this this surface was machined, not high polished. And of course, we have patients, and patients are not perfect, like we also not perfect. They not always show up in the right time, so they come too late. Yes. So instead of 2 weeks, they come after 2 months or 3 months, 6 months, whatever. And on all these cases, it was really not possible to remove the healing abutment, because the soft tissue has a so strong mechanical tension to the zirconia healing abutment. It was amazing. And this is also always for me experience that we don't should do a high polished surface, because high polished surface is not in nature very common.
But in the same moment, this sealing, this dense sealing of the abutment or the healing screw was coming because of the sealing of the tissue, the consistency, or it was because of the hemidesmosomes or the volume of the tissue. What was the case actually?
Yeah, we know from Linkovicius and other stories that the volume of the soft tissue is a very, very big influence parameter, how stable the soft tissue can be. And therefore, accidentally, we in Frankfurt, you know, we place for a long time implants subcrestally. And so due to this accident, we get some more soft tissue thickness and some more soft tissue volume, and therefore we have really very, very good long-term cases. You'll see also in the master on soft tissue. And therefore, this you cannot say is one parameter if your surface is polished or a little bit rough. You have to see all these parameters together as a combination. And therefore, if I can get a recommendation from the knowledge of today, how you can have stable soft tissue, it's of course the volume, and the volume you get with a small diameter of abutment, you get with subcrest placement, you get with connective tissue graft thickening. You have a lot of choices, and at least one abutment one time if it's possible, and not absolutely highly polished surface. This is my recommendation on this topic.
And these are very, very good points, Paul. And especially I would like as well that you can highlight this sub, let's say, under the shape of the cross section of the abutment, especially which is below the zenith of the soft tissue, this kind of interface, because especially on the beginning, when I was starting with implantology, with starting with aesthetic cases, it was not very well understood by me at the time. So I had to learn with my cases, with mistakes which I did, that only shape of the abutment can improve or destroy the case.
Definitely, yes. And we have more or less a very interesting rule. The abutment should be as small as possible, and the volume surrounding the abutment should be as big as possible. Because this soft tissue is a seal, and this is the barrier, and the body has to struggle to seal the foreign body penetrating the alveolar ridge from the more or less all cavity into the very sterile bone. And all the soft tissue has this job to protect. And the protection is best if the soft tissue had this special volume and size. And we have a lot of hints on this.
Yeah.
And therefore, all the implant systems, and I don't now, we have 7 implant systems here in our department, and I don't want to do it now with a company related, yeah. But especially a company mostly is perfectly in the bone and with the implants and with the surgery, but they have the wrong abutment design.
Okay.
Especially if you want to have long-term aesthetic results, because the abutments are too wide diameter, and so the soft tissue in consequence is too small surrounding this abutment. And this is always what you say, your learning curve, recession, bone recession problems, and therefore we have to respect that implant is not a tooth, implant is a foreign body, and therefore we need a lot of soft tissue to protect the penetration of the bacteria and all this stuff into the bone. And can be done.
So is this topic covered in Master of Oral Implantology in Frankfurt program?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So if everybody, anyone who would like to learn it, they can just follow you, and they can just find how to enroll into this program.
Yeah. Yeah. The program is changing, of course. What we lectured 12 years ago is not the same lot we have today, because we always want to be on the edge and we listen to the students. That means we have some feedback sessions, and so they say, okay, this was good, this was bad, or I'm missing this and that. So we change a little bit from the bone management now to the soft tissue management. Now we add more and more digital workflows. I think we are very parallel of the topics what we have in the implant community, and we do the best to be always on the edge of knowledge, and we are very, very critical, you know.
Yeah.
So we are not very easy to convince.
But Paul, it's great that you gave us such a nice description and all the parameters which are critical and crucial for a one-time abutment. But before we will end up our discussion and our podcast today, I would like to ask you about your opinion. What is the future of the implantology in a meaning of aesthetic, one-time abutment, a socket shield, partial extraction therapies, in which direction we go?
A short question or long answer?
Yeah.
It depends. look, you're an expert, and a lot of listeners of you are also experts. So you have to define where you want to go. If you want to go for more and more precision and perfect aesthetic and predictable aesthetic and so on, I think we have to, in the future, respect more the healing and the minimal invasive approach. And the partial extraction therapy is one of them. And Howard Gluckman do it in a very nice way because he's an amazing lecturer and clinician.
Yeah.
I know him more than 25 years now. And but the problem is that the indication for this is not very often. So we have also to look about solutions where we have not this kind of indication for partial extraction therapy, because most of the teeth already gone if the patient can show up the first time to me, and then I can't do that. So the future of the implantology is, and I stop now a 7-year journey for developing an implant system. I already talk about the especially with the minimal invasive osteotomy protocol, we don't change it 50 years now, mm-hmm. but we change now. The next step is an implant, and I work on that. That is a little bit more closer to a tooth.
Yeah.
It means that the interface is not only the osseointegration and the soft tissue on the, that we get a little bit more to have a simulation of the original tooth. And this is a long journey, a very long journey. And of course, companies are not so very interested in that because it takes a long time to convince a company to do something a little bit out of the box.
Yeah.
Especially now because they are under stress. And so I don't know if this kind of ideas will come. And last not least, my answer is, the future of the implantology is to get also easier and safer, that more patients and more people can be a part of this really nice therapy concept. Because if it's so expensive, so complicated, that only some experts can do it, fine to have it, but most of the persons in the world and the human beings never can be a part of this nice therapy concept. And if we do it in a way that it's getting faster, easier,
affordable at first,
and of course safer, more patients will be happy with this nice treatment concept compared to the conventional prosthetic concept replacing missed teeth.
Paul, it's absolutely great points at the end, because what is the most important at the end is our patient, and we should focus to deliver safe and affordable solutions as well. And I'm really very happy as well to announce that I can say it. I hope you will have nothing against that Dr. Paul Weigel accepted accepted my invitation to ITI webinar, which we will hold on the ITI Poland channel. And so I hope we will see you soon live as well with your beautiful presentation. Paul,
I will accept this invitation, especially from ITI. ITI is an amazing group, and I always be very happy to have an invitation of this community. And I do it, of course.
Yeah, thank you very much. And we are just very active, especially in this COVID time with webinars and the same likewise as you. We are doing the best to our members just to share the knowledge, but as well just to give the benefits to be a member of ITI. Paul, once again, thank you very much. And I wish you great time with your family. Enjoy the Christmas time, which will happen soon. And we stay in touch. Thank you very much.
Thank you too. Bye-bye.
Ciao.
Ciao.